Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the podcast. Day of the start of the Tokyo Olympics, 23rd of July, 2021. Marto and Margo.
Getting close to giving away that $10,000, Marto. Nearly went off today. One word. It's all the difference is between $10,000.
And as you know, I don't care. It's not my money. No, I mean, it's not my money. I'd love to give $10,000. I'd love to give $10,000 every day. Then they might say,
"How good would that be?" I mean, I feel like the words are getting easier, but they don't seem to be winning more money.
It's like anything. If you know the answer, it appears to be easy. But
well,
if you don't, it's...
I know. I'm sitting here going, "Come on, just say this."
Yeah, but that bloke paid me. What was the word he missed out on? Pain.
Oh, pain. He said blood.
And I said,
I'll put it in there. I'll put the competition in the podcast so you can have a listen and see if you would have won $10,000.
Sorry, David, I didn't realise you normally put the game in.
I don't, but because it's a special one.
Because we talked about it.
No, and I'll be listening to the podcast, Dave. Just give it a half, just give it 50% effort. Everyone will be watching the Golden Girls in the pool.
My God, when are they on?
It's a fast pool.
Well, the opening ceremony for Tokyo is on tonight. When do the swimmers get in?
Oh, I think they get stuck into it. They start getting wet
tomorrow. Dip their toe in the pool tomorrow.
Start getting wet tomorrow. And I've been told it's a fast pool. Okay. Yeah, sometimes it's a slow pool. It's a fast pool.
So Monday morning when you're back, exactly, should have some news.
Yeah, exactly 3 metres deep. It's exactly 25 degrees Celsius. These are the perfect things. And it's got some of the greatest sidewash gutters acceptors in the history of pools.
Incredible.
$750 million pool.
There you go.
How would you like that in your backyard?
The pool network.
Fast pool.
Marto's thought on sport.
Play the music.
Oh, what music?
The theme music from Good, the Bad,
what
the Ugly, one of the great spaghetti westerns. Well, I'm talking Tokyo because all eyes of the world are on Tokyo and the Olympics right now. And I just wanted to go through, just pull it down slightly, but it's nice in the background.
It's like a Clint Eastwood movie. Is it like a Western old Western?
Oh, it was even before. Oh, no, he would have been around that time. Anyway, what I want to say is the good. And I'll tell you what the first good is. It's Kate Campbell, our wonderful swimmer, Brisbane family, but she's going to be carrying the flag tonight.
Is this her third or fourth Olympics?
Third Olympics, yeah, I think, Margo. But she's going to be there with Patty Mills, our NBA basketballer. They're carrying the flag in the opening ceremony, normally watched by 100,000 people, only 1,000 VIP and dignitaries there tonight. She doesn't care. She is just thinking about others. I love this girl.
There's been a lot of talk of the lockdowns back home, and our hearts go out to all the Australians who are really struggling at the moment. But we really hope that we can put on a really good show for you.
The show must go on, Marto.
But an athlete who's not just thinking about me. She's thinking of others. She's beautiful. And listen, and she's got a little sense of humour because she goes, how do you practice carrying a flag into a stadium, Kate?
They both said that it's surprisingly heavy. I might have got out the broomstick once I got the news.
What else do you do, I suppose? Who has a flag of the big pole? I don't know. Anyway, some more good. There's been plenty of good. And last night, our softball girls won yesterday.
Yes.
But last night, if you missed it, here's the two goals against Argentina. One of the greatest soccer nations on earth, and our under-23, Ollie Roos, got not just one goal.
King finds Duke Chance! Australia ready to shock the world, and it is Lockie Wales who turns it home.
That was one, and they got another.
And here's Tilio! Remarkable! Australia are top.
Should have seen him. If you get a chance, have a look, especially that second goal. So 2-0. So that's before the Olympics even started, the opening ceremony. On tonight.
Mm.
And here comes the bad. The bad was John Coates, who's the deputy. He's the number two in the whole international. He's the real reason Brisbane got the Olympics.
The
okay. Let's be under no illusions. It had not much to do with us at all. John Coates, he was the one that said, hey, Brizzy, Southeast Queensland, this is years ago. Said, do you want to get involved?
Ago. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm one of the bosses at the International Olympic Committee. I'll get you over the line. And he did, and he's still bossing people around, including Nanastasia.
You are going to the opening ceremony.
I'm still the deputy chair of the Canada Leadership Group. And so, as far as I understand, no, none of you are staying behind and hiding in your rooms, all right?
Yeah, nice piece of bullying there.
well, we spoke to Adrian Schrinner yesterday, our Lord Mayor.
Well, he was going to go, wasn't
he? He said, well, what are we going to do? Sit in our hotel rooms and not do anything? They were invited. It would be rude of them not to go.
Well, I'll tell you the ugly. After we all air punched two nights ago at 6:30, okay, what did they do, the people who were over there representing us? What were they up to? This is the ugly bit.
The media in Brisbane have been giving her a hard time, saying she shouldn't go to the opening ceremony, but she had to go. We all came back and had a drink all night in my room to celebrate. She thanked me.
She's pulled an all-nighter, Anastasia.
Anastasia, what? Look out.
On the turf.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, I love overhearing my wife's phone calls to her girlfriends and stuff. I walked by last night. And I said, "Are you talking to?" Oh, and she points at the screen. La, la, la.
Yeah, yeah.
Her mate, and then her mate obviously. And, oh, it's Greg there. Oh, I got something for radio. No, yeah, righto. How many times do I hear that?
Yes.
Yeah, righto. Okay, sure.
You should talk about this.
Yeah, you should talk about. Do you get that sometimes?
I get that all the time.
You should talk about this. Lazy kids. And I said, oh, yeah, what's going on?
I'm happy to talk about that.
All right, get ready with your ammo. Then that's what 133353, you can start ringing now. We might even turn it in. We might do this regularly and turn it into Brisbane's laziest kid, and you may get a reward out of your lazy kid. She said two things. She said, you know my 15-year-old? I said, yeah, he's in grade 9 or 10 or whatever he's in. He regularly puts his uniform, he is so lazy that he puts his uniform on before going to bed, hops into bed with his uniform on so he can hop out and go straight to school.
Mm.
Lazy.
Mm.
And she said, but the real one is, he yelled out the other night, can you get me a towel? And she said, after a shower,
mm-hmm.
she knows that his whole, and you know I've spoken about, my kids are shocking for this, towels on the floor in their bedroom. You might as well have towel carpet. But there was no towels. He used instead of getting out of the bathroom, this is before he had a shower and getting getting a towel, he had his shower, then used the bath mat to dry himself. Lazy.
I've got one for you, Marto. What about this? My 10-year-old sleeps on top of his doona and sheet so he doesn't have to make the bed in the morning.
Oh, lazy.
lazy.
You know what? Like, kids, I'm just thinking of all of them. There's so many, Marto. Where do I begin? Shoes and socks left out in the yard from when they jump on the trampoline and the dog gets the socks and they can't find their shoes. And when they wear their shoes, go to wear their shoes the next morning and they find them out in the yard, they're wet from condensation or it's rained overnight.
Or the dogs chewed them.
Towels on the bathroom floor. Or the one that gets me at the moment is they just leave, they get undressed out of their school uniform and they leave it on the floor beside the laundry basket in the laundry.
Yeah, can't even get it
I'm
in
like,
there.
It's right next door. Put it in the basket. And
they're lazy.
They pick it up and put it in. I'm like, see, now you've had to do it twice.
Lazy. Right, 133353. Does everyone know where we're going? There's probably going to be a prize, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
I would say. Oh, hello. We've got one here. Who's that? Leanne from Deegan. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
You're a lazy kid, Leanne.
Lazy kid. I do. It's my 4-year-old daughter.
Oh, they're the worst. Pick it up. You do it.
it was actually her jumper yesterday on the way to kindy.
Mm.
She managed to get it on one arm, but it was just so heavy and too lazy. She needed me to carry it.
Leanne, that's lazy.
Lazy
little 4-year-old. Leanne, thank you. I think everyone gets what we mean. Hey, if you want to send a text, 0484 10 1045 or
133353.
Jeanette.
Yeah, my daughter, we haven't got a microwave at the moment. So I came home one day to boil a cup of tea and I noticed this white stuff coming out of my kettle. And my 21-year-old daughter said, oh, yeah, I want to make a hot chocolate. So I tried to boil milk in the kettle with the hot chocolate, blew up my kettle. And she said, oh, I've seen people do hot dogs in it. But the best one was she had about 10 glasses in her room.
Yes.
And after a few days, she brought the glasses out after I'd done the dishes. So I went and put them straight back in her room. And 2 days later, I said, oh, Mia, did you see I've put those glasses back in your room? And she said, oh, no, did you? And that's because her room is like a pigsty. She didn't even realise I'd put the 8 or 10 glasses back in there.
How old is she?
Lazy. 21.
Oh, so it never ends, Jeanette. I mean, here I am whinging about my 4, 5, 6-year-olds, and I hear my girlfriends who have older kids still whinging at their 18, 19, 20-year-olds. I'm like, this is never going to end. I'm just going to be nagging at kids for like the next 15 years.
Until they go and get a share house, then they'll come home and tell you, you should see the lazy person I'm sharing with. They're terrible.
Reese from Vicky Point, have you got a lazy kid?
I have a son. I have to buy separate milk because he just throws it back. And he's too lazy to walk the 3 metres to the recycle bin once he's finished it.
Oh, lazy. Exactly.
That's what they do. They put the lid back on. It's got either the tiniest little bit left in it or it's empty, and they put it back in the fridge.
And and you call them on it, and they go, I was leaving that for somebody else.
Yeah.
As or if you they say, were generous.
Can you put this away? And you find it 2 metres down the hallway. And I'm like, you could have just gone another metre and actually put it where it was supposed to go.
Debbie from Hillcrest on the burner phone texting, lazy kids. I was trying to teach my 20-year-old son responsibility to do his own washing. He just started wearing the same clothes over and over, so he only had a few things to do.
Lazy.
Dan from Deception Bay, do you feel our pain? Have you got a lazy kid?
Yeah, I've got a 5-year-old daughter that when she eats her food, instead of taking it up to the sink, she'll put it inside the TV cabinet drawer. And if it's got food on it, she'll actually stick the food down the side of the couch and then put the actual plate inside the TV cabinet.
Lazy.
Lazy kid you've Dan, got there, Dan. Going to give you and 3 mates a pass to the exclusive preview of Suicide Squad. They're dying to save the world, Squad. See it on the biggest screen, VMAX only at Event Cinemas, August 5th.
Dave, we will do this again. Can we go to one more? Peter from Sunshine Coast, bring us home, son. Lazy kids.
It wasn't actually my kid. It was when I was a teenager.
You were the lazy kid, Peter.
Yeah, when I was 15, 16, my mum was hounding me about making my bed and everything. So I just grabbed a sleeping bag and I'd just sleep in the sleeping bag on top of the bed.
Lazy.
Lazy Peter. Peter, going to give you a double pass to go see She Had Old Gods Tour playing the Trifid Thursday, October 14. Tickets on sale now at Moshtix. Lots of calls don't have time to get to, so might have to bring those.
Lord help us.
Lazy.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Hey, Broncos playing Penrith tomorrow afternoon. And it's not just about what's been happening on the field. Off the field's been one of the stars for the Broncos, the way they've been cleaning out. And the bloke who's been wielding the broom with us now, Ben Eichen, Brisbane Broncos head of football. How are you, Ike?
Hello, gang. Good morning.
Welcome back, mate. Good to see you back on Brisbane soil. We know you've been down there, lend out to the Sydney side with Fox down there. But good to have you back in Brizzy. What's it like being home full time?
Well, it's good to be home. So I don't know if you know, but last year when COVID struck, I was one of the Queenslanders that had to relocate to Sydney. So I actually moved down there on my own, spent 3.5 months in a one-bedroom unit, the salubrious Hotel Urban at St. Leonard's.
Oh, depressing.
Did you do an Appy Corrissau or did you just stay rock solid in the bubble?
No, I'm rock solid. Don't worry about that, mate. In fact, I'll go as far to say...
No barbecues, Ben.
Bit of boring. Yeah, very, very, very regimented and routine. And if I hadn't been at Fox now and not back at the Broncos, I would have been doing the same thing because, of course, borders are closed, 360 still going.
And we're happy.
Fox are just doing their best to... get staff where they can at the moment. I mean, Margo, you would know that. There's 16 teams up here in Queensland. They've got people on the sideline in southeast Queensland. They've got people calling it off the TV down in Sydney. So it's, look, I'm here at the Broncos and I'm under level 4. So I'm pretty restricted at the moment. I can only go from home to work and back, but still, that would be the preferred option.
All right. Now, we all said the needs a clean out. You're the person who's been charged with the job. Because normally, you know, you've been very critical when you've been working on telly, but now you've had to actually do the punting, like get rid of people. How hard's that been? What's the process been like when you come to a player? Let's say it's Matt Lodge. Let's say it's Anthony Milford. Those hard conversations eye to eye.
Well, look, what I've tried to educate the players about, which is something I've learnt very quickly on the job and kind of did a fair bit of work on before I arrived, was that this is never personal. This is just about getting, you know, the right positional depth, striking the right capability balance so that you've got a roster that gives you strengths in many places. And my criticisms of the Broncos roster management before I arrived is that the squad lacked balance. You know, there was too much youth, not enough experience, too much strike, not enough game awareness. I could go on and on. Yeah. And so that part has been fascinating. So about freeing up some money. So you've seen Tevita Pangai go, Matt Lodge go. And then we've brought in Adam Reynolds, which essentially gives the team a brain. Kurt Capewell, we've got some great young forwards coming through. So he's an experienced rep level forward that models the habits of a good professional.
Yeah.
Will then give us what we need to help bring these young guys through. And beyond that, we get better capabilities in areas where we've been weak. So if we strengthen the entire squad, then we're a better chance of playing finals next year which is something we haven't done for a couple of years now.
Ikey, I was in the crowd last Sunday when we got beat by the Tigers, a game that we should have won, essentially. I heard a few, I would say that they're members of the Broncos and have come along to all of the games. What do you say to the members and the people who have, you know, supported the Broncos long term because they're disheartened and they're feeling it themselves? What do you say to them? Because a lot of them say, oh, well, there's always next year, you know, but they feel like they've been saying that, you know, for a few years now.
Yeah, I would say stay the course, Margo. So at this stage, what we're doing is trying to identify the gaps in the footy program. So that's as much about the staff and what we bring as it is the playing group. So we're trying to get our footy program stabilised because, as you would know, there's been so much churn through that business over the last 3 years. And that creates a whole stack of uncertainty. And you do not want uncertainty inside a professional sporting environment. So that puts the Broncos on the back foot. So we've stabilised the joint, we're tidying up the roster, we're bringing in quality players, we're going to improve these young guys that have come out of our academy, and we're going to grow and improve together. So this thing is trending in the right direction. So look, we've got ourselves off the bottom of the ladder at this stage, this year. The view is we're going to close out the season as strong as we can, get the best out of the guys that we've got. We'll add a couple of true professionals next year. The coaching staff will improve, the performance staff will improve, the whole joint will lift. And our goal next year is to be back and playing finals. So I know it's been a tough ride, but stick with us. We are going to be better.
Hey, Ike, culture isn't just about cleaning up the rubbish in your dressing room or on the sideline. That's been spoken about. But last week, Margo was saying on Monday, the players didn't stay around. Sure, they're disappointed, but they had fans, you know who they are, buying their $160 jerseys, going down to the side of the field, and the players took off in their disappointment up the tunnel. Surely someone should have been in that tunnel to tell them, get back out there, take the selfies, sign anything the little kids want. Have you stepped in on that?
No, they can't, Marto. They're under level 4 restrictions. They can do a lap, but one, yeah, they lost. I don't know what they're celebrating. But number two, they can't sign autographs. They can't get selfies. They can't be near the fans. And, like, to be fair, and I don't know what's happened here in the past, but to see those guys disappointed that they couldn't close out that game and wanted to go off and sort of, I don't know, get lost in their thoughts, their disappointment, isn't such a bad thing. You know, I know the Broncos here in the past have had more success than failure, and that's probably why they're used to getting in around and doing the laps. But to be fair, off the back of how they couldn't close out that game and knowing that they can't actually physically be close to fans, to get in the sheds and think about how they lost that they need to be better, I think is a statement about where we're going.
Isn't it fair, though, to the fans, Ikey? I was one of those. My kids were standing there waiting for the team to come around. The Tigers fans waited. The Tigers players walked around. Yes, there were more barriers around the field. They're just waving, you know. Isn't it fair to the fans of the Broncos who turn up week in, week out, also share that loss and that disappointment with them? Isn't that then fair to them? I was one of them. I saw the disheartening from my children, and they have access to the players because of their dad. But there's kids out there that don't have that sort of access and that turn up week in, week out. Isn't it fair to them to be able to share in that disappointment and at least just get an acknowledgement? Thank you for coming out. We're sorry we couldn't get there for you, but we're here and we know you're here and we see you.
You might be right, but it's a difficult balance to strike.
Of course.
To be fair, I wouldn't want to see a team after a loss like that where they should have won, you know, thinking lap of honour. I mean, what have they got to celebrate? The view is at the moment is that the Broncos haven't been good enough. The fans know that. The players know that. The entire organisation knows that. So if we lose that way, let's get in the sheds and think about how we can be better.
Yeah.
So that we can actually do a lap of honour that's worthwhile. Then we can celebrate with the fans because we've got something to celebrate.
Well, I hope the fans stick with you long enough. Ben Eichen, we're glad you're home. We're glad you're running the ship. Thanks for talking. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Ikey.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, what times we live in. We have with us now the man that Scott Morrison regards as his comedy hero, Amos Gill. Hello.
That's so deeply disturbing. Here's my message of the day, folks. Hope will kill you. You know, I've just given up on everything. Don't make plans. Don't try and get ahead. Just sit back and lay down and wake up in 3 years when this is all over. I can't come to the Brisbane Comedy Festival. Those shows are done.
I don't know if you heard, though, Amos, the Olympics is going to be here in 11 years. Maybe you could do a, you know, like a mature career path change. Mm.
Congratulations on beating out everyone who wanted that. That's exciting, Brisbane. Well done. No, hopefully we've recovered from the Zeta variant by the time that comes along.
Listen, don't you downplay us winning a one-horse race. Don't you dare.
Hey, the 4X gold medal does sound good, though. You
know? Just a can or stubby. What would be better?
I was thinking the other day about the Gold Coast and Brisbane getting the games and just Australia having the Olympics again, because I do love the Olympics. And here's something I'm also very excited about. You guys know my missus is a equestrian rider.
Equestrian. Oh, did you hear about that Jamie Cammond? Whatever happened to him?
Did I hear about it? I heard before the news had broken because her group chat had absolutely sparked up.
Oh.
Because the equestrian community is blowing up over this.
It's gone bunter.
Are they tight-knit? They all know each other?
Oh, they all know each other. They're all bitching about it. Apparently the backup rider, chose not to go because he was in a huff that he wasn't picked in the first team.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to take his horse over there. So now they've got no backup and the team is completely ruined.
This is a disaster. How many gold were we going to win in equestrian anyway? I haven't done my math.
I mean, and what a shock to know that a white wealthy man in his 30s has some lines on the weekend. I, for one, am blown away by that. I mean, I go to these equestrian shows once every 3 weeks. Let me tell you, if everyone got on the gear, it'd be a hell of a lot more interesting for those that's watching out there. But of course he was going to get busted. But you know how they got him, don't you?
Well, no, it was in Caboolture, wasn't it?
Caboolture or somewhere.
He and the horse were leaving a disabled toilet together.
How cruel. Did you see the horses already over in Japan and he's not? So
it's like $100,000 or more to get your horse over there.
Oh, no.
I can't wait for the documentary, The Nags on the Bags. That's what I'll produce. And I reckon the guy, the rider, obviously likes the party a little bit. I don't think he's going to miss out on too much because he probably saw the anti-sex beds and thought, stuff this, I'm not rooting on a broken cardboard box anyway. Can I tell you where I'm doing this interview, by the way? No studio, not my own. I've decided to isolate with my girlfriend's family, and I've been shushed.
Up.
I was told not to talk too loud, so I'm going to be sitting in a car in a driveway while it rains.
Oh, that's so sad.
Comedian Amos Gill not coming to the Brisbane Comedy Festival. Oh, his shows have been cancelled. He's locked down in Adelaide.
What are you going to do with those 2,000 tickets we gave to listeners?
They've been liquidated, and I'm going to Tokyo to ride the horse.
Amos, we'll talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, I know you're all just hanging on by a thread to hear me talking about The Bachelor, gentlemen. But we met the newest Bachelor at the beginning of the week, Marto. His name is Jimmy.
No, don't include me in we.
He's Jimmy Nicholson, 31 years old.
You met him.
I didn't meet him.
I've seen two photos of him. Neither time did he have a shirt on.
He's got a good rig.
Likes his nipples.
I don't like to objectify men, but he's a former model, 31-year-old former model. He's a self-confessed romantic. He is of New Zealand and Fijian descent.
Oh.
So a nice,
a look.
Nice little mix there. That's him with a quokka posing.
Oh, he's very Fijian. He's quite Fijian.
He's a handsome, strapping young fella. A new face to the Bachelor series. Sometimes we see them regurgitate old faces that, you know, lost out, and then they bring them back as the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. But he is a handsome-looking fellow, and he has girls weak at the knees, but not just because he's good-looking, because of this.
I'm a pilot, so
He's a pilot. Of course I come on to The Bachelor and meet a pilot.
Pilot? That's pretty fun. Very cool job.
So, what do you do?
I'm a pilot, I guess I'm usually up in the sky.
He's a pilot. Oh, my God.
What's so good about a
flying
pilot?
Flying high. I'm going to soar with love. You know, they're using all of soaring with love. Using all the puns. He flies for Jetstar. Come on.
Flies for Jetstar.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
But what is it about the tag? I mean, you heard all the girls, you know, fussing over the fact that he is a pilot.
What is it?
What is it about you the
see
pilot
the, You see them walking through. They've got their briefcases, obviously got all their info and stuff in it, and they stride
the
through an airport.
The uniform, perhaps.
Is it the epaulettes?
The
they look more like cabbies to me with those epaulettes on their shirts.
Mm. Was it Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can, you know,
interesting.
Playing a fake pilot? Is it that what did it?
What do girls want to be whisked away?
I'm not
like
sure.
They're
maybe
the bus driver
thought...
of the sky
they're
pilot.
The truckies of the sky.
Well, but no, they take people, so the bus drivers.
A bus driver.
Unless he's a cargo pilot, then they're the truckies of the sky.
There is something pretty
look
pretty
at me,
sexy.
I can fly a plane.
I mean,
all right.
Triple M have put me up in a couple of planes over the last few years for fireworks, for river fire, right? Yeah. And we do the flyover. Yeah. And there's something pretty, you know, like they wear the aviators and the jumpsuit and there's something pretty.
Look at me, I can take off and land.
And they're generally pretty charismatic, you know.
Are they?
I don't know. 133353.
What? All right.
Being a pilot is going to get this bloke laid, surely,
but
isn't it?
Why is he on the show if he's already a pilot? Why
I mean, even
he
if
jagging,
he's not a nice guy,
why is he
girls
dagging,
are just gonna,
jagging dozens of them anyway?
Going to leap into bed with him just because he's a pilot, perhaps. Marta, did being a carpenter ever,
never,
ever
listen,
bag you a lovely young lady?
Years ago, I ran this and
is
I
that
said
why
I've Kath never
married
been.
You?
No, I've never. No, we got together before I was a chippy.
Well, it was because you were a footy player, maybe, like a rugby union player. Girls have the.
Appy Corrissau from Penrith will say girls love grabbing footy players. They love grabbing it. They go, I want to be a trophy wife.
Yeah.
You know, I want in on this rugby league scene.
What about pool guys? You know, just out there scraping leaves off the bottom of your pool.
That's nonsense, I reckon. I ran this one day and I said, there's been a tradie that's ever jagged one from just doing your job, and a pest inspector rang up. This guy did pest stuff, okay, did an inspection, and some girl came, opened up her dressing gown, nothing on, and it was on.
I always have...
Pesty.
I always have the idea that engineers, you know, is a hot...
What
profession? I don't know. Just something about someone saying, hi, I'm Michael. I'm an engineer.
They spent the whole day doing maths.
Nerds.
Nerds.
Could they do your maths for you?
Yeah, probably. 1-3-5-3.
What are you asking?
Well, I want to know. What's the best job for pulling?
Well, I reckon male stripper would be up
there. Did your job get you laid?
All right. I'm saying male stripper. If there's any male strippers listening, I know you've had a late night, but have you jagged a few? Other than that, who else is going to jag one? A baker?
I don't know. Let's find out. 133353. Did your...
Delivery guy.
Maybe. Thank you for bringing my package.
Can you show me yours?
Get a bit farther.
Okay.
Let's wrap this up.
I think
the whole
thing's 1-3-3-5-3. 1-3-3-5-3. When did your job?
Has your job ever got you one?
Your job title, did it ever get you one?
Righto.
John from Rochdale?
Yeah, I heard before that caller ringing about pest control. You go back 30 years ago.
No.
Mate and I used to do house. I mean, and these are women that rang in, booked to have you come and do their home, but. Yeah, the amount of women that rocked up the door with a towel and or a dressing gown.
Did you then?
I'd have to ring me mate up and say, oh,
I need
you
a hand.
Fill in for the next job for me? I'm a bit busy.
John,
yeah.
Be late.
John, I didn't believe it the last time we ran this years ago and the pest controller was the only one. Are you 100% serious? Women love men who can get rid of cockroaches.
Oh, mate, more than the cockroaches.
Yeah, give the rodent a run, hey?
Blew the cobwebs out. No spiders here. Oh. Andrew from Callumvale, 133353.
Why aren't we all pest controllers?
I mean, the ladies of The Bachelor this season have gone weak at the knees for the pilot, but did you have a job where you got some extra special lady attention because of it?
Yeah, morning, guys. I was a pizza boy many years ago.
Oh, Vinny. What was his name? Was it Vinny?
Dougie, the pizza boy.
Andy, the pizza boy.
Yeah, give us the situation.
I rocked up to this house on the first night of my job, and it was my first delivery. What? And I knock on the door, and they weren't expecting a pizza. You could hear from the kerfuffle in the background. And this bird's opened the door, and she says, "We haven't ordered any pizza." I said, "Oh right, I must have messed it up, you know." So off I went. I said, "I'll see you later. Sorry to trouble you." She runs after me up the driveway and says, "What time do you finish?" I said, "Oh, about 9 o'clock.
What?
She says, "We'll come back when you're done." I
what?
Said, "Righto."
What? First day.
So, first delivery, mate. It was the wrong house.
Oh, my.
I ended up going back there
back?
Every night after work. Yeah, every night after work for about 3 months, mate.
Greatest time of his life.
Thanks, Andrew. What about this on the burner phone, mate? 0484. Peter. Bus drivers.
What?
You have no idea how good it is.
Hold on. You can't be
calling any. Said. Self-proclaimed.
No, hold on. This is rubbish. We need to do this again sometime, and we've got to get people to put their hand on a Bible.
I need to know more. for bus drivers? What is it? Is it the knee-high socks? Is it the shirt tucked into the shorts with the belt? I'm not sure. What is it? Is it the council badge?
What, you can get on for free, like a $3 ride for free. Hold on, we do have to come back. William, we can't do everyone. We've got to keep pushing
on. Dan from the Gold Coast. William says security guard.
Security guard. Oh, security guard.
If he's a security guard at Shooters, I might know, Dan.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Corey's going around the house. Stock his marbles busy. Parking orders. Time for At Home with the Parkers.
Oh, I hate to brag, Marta. You know me. I'm never one to talk about how wonderful my children are or the fact that I'm married to Corey Parker, it seems. It's all I ever talk about anymore. But no, yesterday I was a very proud parent. Corey and I stood there on the sidelines and cheered on our two eldest children, Memphis, who is 11, and Wiley, who is 10, at their school athletics carnival. Where they pretty much nailed it. I mean, there's nothing else really to be said and done here. 2032 Brisbane Olympics, look out.
How long have we been on air? 2.75 hours. I've spent probably 2.5 of those hours looking at your children running around a track.
Watching videos.
I don't care.
Well, I put it on my Instagram, Marta, and you don't look at Instagram, so I was I have to show you.
You force fed me.
Look how good they are.
Look at my children.
You're like, I don't care. God. Stop it. But no, that's not what I want to talk about, because what actually happened more interesting Wiley was age champion. I'll just throw that in there. And Memphis got 4 firsts and 2 seconds. I'll just throw that in. She was just pipped at the post by none other than our sports minister, Mick DeBrenny, his daughter. He was there yesterday flying the Olympic flag yesterday.
I thought you said you were going to stop talking about your kids being so good.
My apologies. Yeah. But no, we went to Macca's after a little treat. A couple of the mums said,
this is more like it.
We're taking the kids to Macca's, for a bit of a treat and a run around in the playground. That is code for I'm exhausted. I don't want to go home and make dinner yet and do lunch boxes and uniforms. So let's just go and sit at McDonald's and talk a bit of rubbish while the kids entertain themselves.
You have the trophies and ribbons with you to humiliate the other mums?
We did, yes.
Did they have any trophies or no?
Yeah. One of their kids got age champion. A few ribbons were collected.
So it's only the winning mums.
It's only the winning mums that hang out together. We leave the peasants, they go somewhere else. No, I'm just kidding.
Be careful.
A couple of us got together.
Can I just give you one quick be careful? Mm. There's 1,800 schools in Brisbane, in Queensland. So at everyone in those schools, there's someone like you, and at the next level, you'll get knocked off.
There's always someone better.
Yeah, get ready for that. Can't win every day.
That's called building resilience, Marta. I look forward to that.
So you're at McDonald's.
We're at Macca's, and there was a man who was getting into a very heated argument in the line with one of the young staff members. Mm-hmm. And one of the mums, she took it upon herself to confront him because he was yelling like a crazy person at this poor 16-year-old.
Oh, no.
Because it is a policy of the McDonald's store that you wear a mask when you enter. And he refused to wear a mask. And so the young girl behind the counter said, "Excuse me, sir, I can serve you when you put your mask on." He went off a rocket. "Oh, you think you're better than me? You're being blonde by Anastasia and the government colluding and blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
And he just went off. And this poor little girl standing there just absolutely copping abuse.
She doesn't need that.
She doesn't need that. And so my friend, she stood up because nobody else was doing anything, not standing in because of his tirade. And so she said, "Oi, mate, just calm down. It's not her job. It's a policy of the store. She's 16. She doesn't need." He turned the tables on her.
On your mate. That's good. Sidetrack.
And then all the kids are standing there thinking this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, it sure is.
And I came to the party late. I wasn't there. So I then got the secondhand stories. The kids were like, "Oh, did you see this guy?
Oh.
We got into a fight, Mum. There was a fight at McDonald's." And I was thinking, like, there's an all-in brawl.
Yeah.
But there was this one old cranky man that didn't want to wear a mask that got in trouble. So I said to the kids, "See, let this be a lesson learned."
What lesson is that?
Well, I'm not quite sure, but I just said, "Let this be a lesson learned."
Is it a Hungry Jack's lesson? Like, there's people are less angry at Hungry Jack's?
No, I don't know.
Do any of the kids look at you and go,
they just went, "Yes."
Yes.
And I went, "Great."
They don't listen to you.
No.
Corey going stalkers, Parker parking orders. That was At Home with the Parkers.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Well, Marta, there's an incredible thing happening this morning, all in the awareness of mental health, and that is the Coast Trek from Currumundi to Noosa. It's happening right now.
Jeez, that's a fair way. Currumundi up to Noosa.
And one of the participants, Peter O'Brien, joins us this morning from Brisbane Coast Trek. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Raising money for mental health and Beyond Blue. Obviously, mental health has taken a massive hit during the pandemic. Why was it so important for you to want to do this walk in raising an awareness for such a great mental health week?
Well, Beyond Blue helped me about 9 months ago. I lost my little sister in a tragic accident in South Australia. So I was at a pretty low part of my grieving, and I called Beyond Blue for help. And yeah, they helped me on the spot, and then they gave me a referral off to a counsellor, which I needed. So this is a personal journey for me, trying to raise awareness, because mental health is huge at the moment in every department. Mine's a loss, but there's so many other factors.
God, isn't there ever with COVID and all the treatment of small businesses and stuff. How many people on the walk with you this morning, Peter?
There's about 2,000.
Oh, so whoa.
There's about 500. Everyone's all socially distanced because it's all on the beach, which is great. So we're all in teams of four.
Oh, so you've taken off north side of Maroochy River. You've taken off from Currumundi. Are you walking the beach until you get to the headlands, I guess, at Coolum and stuff?
Yeah, and then you just go off onto a path and then back onto the beach.
Oh, wow.
95 plus is going to be all beach walking, and then the rest. And then there's another lot of walkers. So I'm doing the 60Ks. There's another lot of walkers starting at, is it Majimba?
Yeah.
And they're doing the 30Ks to Noosa. So it's for all ages. So it's, it's fantastic.
And you're walking through Coast Trek and, like you mentioned, raising money. What's the goal? Where are you at? And how can people help out? Can they join you in the walk as you're going along? And where can they head to donate some money?
I can send you the link to the donation page, and if you want to put that up on your website, and then people can just click on that, and it'll take you straight to a donation page, and they can donate. Like, every cent counts, whether it's $5, $10, it's, yeah, and it's been incredible of people donating, especially with everyone having obviously COVID issues with work and everything. They've been amazingly generous.
Coasttrek.com.au is the page. Right. You can find Peter O'Brien in there. She's taking part with Sun Trekkers. They are raising money for Beyond Blue and mental health. It's so important. Peter, good luck. Yeah. All the best.
Thank you. I'll send you some little podcasts of how we're trekking and where we're up to.
Wonderful.
May your calves survive. Yeah. Thanks, Peter.
Oh, yeah. I'm just worried about the blister factor.
The blisters.
I've got three pairs of socks and everything all sorted.
What's the furthest you've ever walked into this stage?
Well, I did some training. I did the spit down the Gold Coast to Tweed Heads, and that was 41Ks.
Oh,
and
then week, you'll be right. Okay.
I did Cornubia to Kangaroo Point, and that was 33Ks. So,
wow.
Yeah. So,
Cornubia to Kangaroo Point. Going which direction? What, along the M1?
No. I just hit Logan Road. Yeah. I just went the service road, hit Logan Road, and just followed Logan Road.
Oh, Jesus. Righto. Oh, good on you, Peter. Mighty. Yeah. Well done.
Hurdle Tools Stock Take Sale is on now. Up to 50% off excess and obsolete stock. Hurry. Once it's gone, it's gone. Five words. $10,000 on the line. $10,000! Triple M's first responder.
Adrian from 8 Mile Plains rang in on 133-53 because he wants to play Triple M's first responder and win $10,000. And we're going to do our best today, Adrian, to get you there. Welcome to the show, first and foremost. What do you do and what would you spend $10,000 on, Adrian?
I actually work in a Catholic parish office, so I do property and projects and account management, stuff like that.
All right. Finance. Oh, the Lord is everywhere. May he smile upon you this morning.
Oh, yes.
The Catholics do love to donate to the church, their parishioners. Would you donate some of the $10,000 back to the church, or would you spend it on a holiday, some bills?
Look, I'd love to say yes.
Yes.
But I've got, I'm married, I've got a couple of kids. Yeah. So
goes a long way.
You know, I'd like to do a holiday, a bigger TV, but let's be honest, I'll probably just spend it on what my wife says I can.
Yep.
Or what she wants. Adrian, you're up against Mardo today, so good luck. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you. I've got a good vibe.
Lift up our hearts.
Thank you.
Catholic school kids here, Adrian, so we're on board. But you've got five words. You've got to match the responses that Mardo gave me just a few moments ago. For everyone you get correct with Mardo, $100. If you get all five matched correctly,
$10. Which I think he will.
Yeah, look, you didn't do too bad Yeah, before.
I don't grade my performances. Let's see how Adrian.
He got them all right. Let's put it that
he
way.
Got them all right.
I'm 100%. You're the only one who can spoil this.
All right, Adrian, let's do this. Your five words for today are Tokyo.
Olympics.
High.
Jump.
Pain.
Blood.
Torch.
Light.
Box.
Cardboard.
Alrighty. Your responses were Tokyo Olympics. It's on at the moment. Seems pretty common sense. High, jump, pain, blood, torch, light, box, cardboard. Let's go to Marto's responses and see how you fared. All right, Marto, your words for today. It's Friday. Let's try and give it away for the weekend.
Yes, please.
Tokyo.
Olympics.
High.
Jump.
Pain.
Relief.
Torch.
Light.
Box.
Cardboard.
No! Adrian, $400. Just missed out.
Bad.
Pain, relief. You said blood. That was the only difference between you and $10,000 today, Adrian. But $400 in the back pocket.
Sorry, mate.
That's not bad, Marto. I can't believe you got that one wrong.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I owe you $9,600.
Marto, for you have sinned. We shall punish you to
We've
hell
come
forever.
Close again. The $10,000 is still up for grabs, though. Adrian walking away with $400. It's all thanks to Total Tools Stock Take Sale. Now on, up to 50% off excess and obsolete
Don't tell
stock.
Sorry.
Hurry, once it's gone, it's gone.
Don't tell the wife.
Adrian,
it's only $400.
You and I already know that Marto has been punished and will be going to hell naturally anyway.
Yes. It's the Big Breakfast. Triple M, Smash Mouth.
That was Triple M's Big Breakfast.
God, you do so much for this town.
Triple M.